before me has been pastors. So I knew what was ahead of me. So then God blessed me with Gary, and he just jumped right in. And we have led Sunday school. We have done children's. Bless all the children's teachers out there. Our heart is teens. I know some people are like, ooh, teenagers. Those are our favorite. That's what makes our heart pitter-patter. Sometimes they're misunderstood. Sometimes they are taken advantage. So our heart for teenagers, we want to love on them. We want to encourage them. And we have done youth ministry.
7 years.
7 years. I was thinking seven.
Seven years as youth pastors.
And so we love it. Our mission is to make sure that no teen goes unheard, unseen, or just brushed to the side. So now these numbers I want to give you real quick before Gary takes over. They are 2020 numbers. So here's some statistics real quick. On Logan County, there are 357 students in Paris High School. This is 2020. There are 256 students, and this is all high school, not elementary or middle school, just high school students. 256 students attend Magazine High School. 278 students attend Boonville High School. 235 students go to County Line High School. That's a total of 1,126 high school students. There's only 32 churches. Now let's start doing some math. I know, Kelly, you don't like math, but in every church, an average is 20 students in a youth program. That's a pretty good number. But not every church has 20, but we'll just say they have 20. That would only be 640 youth going to church. Where's the other? Where's the other 1,126 students? Let that number sink in. 1,126 students.
You got math like Pastor Kelly.
I skipped over, sorry. That would mean 486 youth that don't go and possibly doesn't know God or have even heard of him. My math. But anyways, that's a lot still. Whether there's 1,000 or 400, that's somebody's child, grandchild. That's somebody we have seen at Walmart or at a school game that we need to reach out, that we need to love on. This is very concerning to Gary and I, and it breaks our hearts. So we just need your guys' prayers as we step forward and in this ministry. And thank you so much for welcoming us with open arms. From the day we walked in, we felt God's presence. We felt the love from each and every one of you guys. You guys have always come up, even when we snuck in and just sat down, you've just embraced us, loved on us, asked us, you know, how are you doing? No, really, how are you doing? Thank you. So, go ahead.
So, how many of you guys, yeah, you know, those numbers are alarming, 486 youth. I don't know about you guys, but if that's my student, my child, it's horrifying. So one of our deals is no student left behind. 486. It's a lot of work. But you know what? Our God's bigger. Our God can do it, and he's going to flood this place with 486 students. I just know it. I just know it. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you for everything that you're doing in this place. Father, right now, I just ask that you begin to plant those seeds for those 486 students, Father. Father, right now, I just ask that you make this church body one to reach out for these students, Father. Father, from this moment forward, not my words but yours, Father, we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight I want to talk about crossing the line. Yeah, this could be a touchy subject, could be a good subject. So, how many of you guys ever watched Davy Crockett? Anybody in here watch Davy Crockett? I know my dad has because that movie's kind of old, so. Sorry, Dad. In that movie, there was a scene that Colonel Travis, was there, and he drew a line. He drew a line on the ground, and it was at the Alamo, and he asked, how many are going to stay and fight with me? You ever think God just draws that line? Wants to know how many of you guys, us, me included, are going to stay and fight? That we're willing to cross that line no matter what it takes? See, every time we're confronted with God's truth, the line is drawn. The truth. Tonight I want to look at a situation in the Gospel of John. John's one of my favorites. But before we do that, before I actually get to the Scripture, I want to give you guys a little background before I read the actual verse. See, Jesus had tons of followers because he had just fed the 5,000 people. People were flocking all to him because of the signs and wonders that he was doing. You know, so they just had a tremendous amount. Most of his followers, though, have shallow commitment. They were just following Jesus to see what they could get out of it. How many people just follow just to see what they can get out of it instead of with their hearts and their mind and their bodies, their soul? See, once they were faced with truth crisis, they left. They left. He was telling them that he is the bread of heaven. That to have eternal life, we must consume his flesh and his blood. That caused many of the followers there to flee. You know, when I did some research, they said upwards to 15,000 people fled. And why? Because they're questioning the truth. Because Jesus drew a line, and they were questioning it. So tonight, let's go to John 6, 60 through 71. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? I'm going to get into that a little bit earlier, later, but how many of us just get the truth, this teaching's hard? And he's asking, who can accept it? He drew the line there. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, you know what I kind of find funny? It's not funny at all, but I just love reading the Bible when you see red. Because those are true. The whole Bible's true, but that is Jesus. I picture him standing right here speaking to me. Those are his words straight out of his mouth. So when you guys see something red, that should just stir your spirit, your soul up, and just make you on fire. So it goes on. Does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. So as I read that, the first person I want to look at is the quitter. And that's verse 60 through 66. You can find that. It said, Jesus, knowing himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked him, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. The beginning, those who would not believe, and the one who would betray him. So why do you think people quit? Why do you think people give up? Notice in there, these people stopped walking with Jesus. They quit because they were having trouble with the things he was saying. How many times, and it's in here, but it just feels like the moment. How many times have we taken this Bible and we made it fit us? Not what God's saying, but we made it to fit us, our situation. They have become offended by the truth. How many of you guys know some of the truth can be offensive sometimes? It hurts. It hurts. How many of you guys, when you hear the truth, our little feelings get hurt? This message was given to me from God, and if it steps on someone's foot, then it's meant for somebody. There's no sugarcoat in the word. It is what it is. And if we're going to be true Christians, we got to live by it. See, a lot of times when we're living in darkness, the light of God shines through and it can hurt. How many of you guys falling asleep? It's pitch black. And the light comes on and you're just mad. You're irritated, you're upset, you're mad because the light shined through. How many times have we done that with God? We're in the darkness and his light shines through and we get mad and upset because we don't want to accept the truth. These people were offended by what Jesus was saying because it was true and they were under conviction. When we come under conviction of the word of God, we have two possible responses. We can do like they did. We can run, flee, or you know what? We can get on our knees and we can pray to God about it. I'm not going to run. We got 600 students. We're not running anywhere. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray, and the heavens of gates are just going to open up for us. I know it. I also think people quit following Jesus because he didn't meet their expectations. Some people believe that, you know, when we live for Jesus, you won't face any troubles. I'm going to tell you what. We stepped into this, we accepted what, Friday? The devil has hit our family in every way he could since Friday to today. Why? Because we are stepping into what God's called us to do. And if the devil's not messing with you, that's because you're in the devil's playground. You're not over here with Jesus. So I would rather have the devil fight me tooth and nail, knowing that I'm living for God. Because our God's overcame. That's right. How many of you guys think God will give you everything you want to? See, I think they quit following because they think God was just going to give them everything they wanted. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad God didn't give me everything I wanted. I would rather be in his will than my wants. Two ways we're going to stay on track. We're going to be right-minded. We naturally see things different. That's the human side of us. We see things different than God sees them because our flesh gets in the way. Instead of trying to change the Word of God to fit your situation, we need to allow the Word of God to change us, to make us right-minded. We're going to look at Romans 12:2 real quick. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Don't conform to this age. Don't conform to the world. We're different. We're supposed to be different. Because when God comes in, when you accept God, you're a changed person. You're no longer of the world. The world's gone. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, real quick. Five through six tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. How many times have you gone on your own and it just ended up horrible? Horrible. Because you didn't put God in the mix. So in other words, we've got to get rid of our own perspectives and expectations and just trust what God wants to do in our lives. You've got to cross that line and accept what God's called you to do. You know, every time that I seek God first, it's perfect. It's perfect. His way is better than my way. But all too often, when he's called us, told us the truth, we want to take the Bible, flip it around to fit what we want, and not cross the line. Be receptive to the truth. How many of you guys like hearing the truth? We all like hearing the truth, but do we act the truth? Or did we get our little feelings hurt? All too often, we don't want to hear the truth because we don't want to accept it. That means we need to be teachable. So if you want to accept the truth, we need to be teachable. How many want to be teachable? And see, most people always want to hear the truth, but they won't accept it. You look at them and you go, yep, yep, yep. And then you go back about your ways. All too often, sometimes when God's calling us to do something and he draws that line, and then we turn and go. But you know what? What good does it do if you don't accept the truth? You're hurting yourself. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, God already knows the truth. Second part I want to look at is the pretender. 70 through 71, and that's back over in Luke. I got it all messed up here. I'm sorry, in John 70 and 71. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. How many of you guys know Judas was the ultimate betrayer? But how often do we act like a Judas? If we were all to sit there and really look deep down in our hearts, I would bet to say that sometimes we've all acted like Judas. Do you ever fake it and say things are okay when in reality they're not? Do you ever act like everything between you and God is just fine, and when in reality you probably got sin hidden in your heart? See, he's drawn the line, and we just want to pretend. It's okay. We'll come in here through these doors, and we'll act right. We'll be right. But when we go back out the doors, we're going to live like the Satan. We're pretending. We're not fooling nobody. Why do you think often we pretend? Anybody got any ideas? I think a lot of times we pretend because we care more about what people think of us than what God thinks of us. You know, we'll pick on my daughter for a minute. You weren't getting out of this that easy. You know, it's tough being in high school. It is. It is. So, in high school, you got a status, I should call it. I can't have the Walmart shoes. I got to have the Nike shoes. Right? I can't have this. I got to have that. And not that she does, but that's just an instance that all too often we're trying to please people and what people think of us and what God thinks of us. When in reality, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I love each and every one of you. I want to minister to each and every one of your kids. But at the end of the day, when I get to heaven and I hear, well done, good and faithful servant, it's me. I want every one of you guys to make it. But I don't want to get up there and say, you faker, you're going. It's tough. And you know, in reality, the only ones we're faking is ourselves. God already knows your heart. He already knows what you're battling, what you're dealing with, what you're faking about. Are you hurting me? Are you hurting pastors? You're hurting yourself. Two ways we're going to keep this real. Seek the approval of God, not the acceptance of man. Jesus explained it perfectly when he said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? I don't want the whole world, people. I don't. I want to win souls for Jesus, and I want to make it through the gates. Because in the end, I don't know, probably shouldn't admit it, but I do listen to country music sometimes, and you don't see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse, right? You don't. So I can't take nothing with me. But I can take souls with me. And that's what we're all called to do, is take souls. Serve out of love, not out of liability. I think another reason people fake it is because they feel like they are expected to do these things. They're supposed to do it instead of serving the Lord and being glad. Pretenders serve the Lord and getting mad because it becomes more of a chore to them. When we're pretending, we get upset with the Lord because it's became more of a chore than we've done it out of love. See, when we serve the Lord because of our love for him, it's no longer a chore, but an opportunity to demonstrate our devotion. The last person I want to look at is a follower, verse 67 through 69. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." See, a couple things I want to point out is, first, the true followers of Christ, we're not perfect. We're not perfect at all. Peter wasn't perfect. But you know, even with all his flaws, he still followed Christ with everything in his heart. The second thing I want to point out, Jesus ain't making none of us follow him. None of us. "Didn't I choose you 12? Yet one of you, you do not want to go away too, do you?" See, we have options. He's drawn a line. We have that option. I'm ready to go home. I don't want to live another day in a world full of hell. So we have that option. And see, Haley, I can't make you accept him. That's your choice. Cadence, I can't make you accept him. It's your choice. But what we can do is we can plant those seeds. How many of you guys have a garden? Michelle wants one, but she wants me to take care of it so she can get in a garden. She says, "Oh, we're going to have fruit. We'll have all this stuff. We'll have everything." Yeah, but you know what? We'll have weeds to take care of. We'll have to plant. We'll have to pick. But this will be Gary's garden, not Michelle's. Anyway, we plant that seed in your garden, and you nurture it. But you let the soil, the weather, and everything else raise it. Same thing we need to do with our youths. We need to plant those seeds. We need to nurture them. We need to be there for them. We need to water them. And you know what? This is not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit just felt upon me. Me and Michelle, we can't go to the high school. We can go to things. But our biggest outreach in any school is our youth. They're the ones that are going to reach their parents. So we've got to build them up to go out and plant the seeds. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're going to do. We'll be at games. We'll be at places. But ultimately, our teens need to reach other teens in the schools. See, a true disciple, once you receive Christ, your heart's going to change. You're no longer going to go back to your old ways. It's possibly impossible. You can hit bottom. Sure can. Been there. But it will eat you up inside if you keep going back to what you were before you accepted Jesus Christ. See, a true follower doesn't just know what to do. They show it. And they live it constantly. A true follower gains knowledge, knowledge by studying the Word of God. If our teens are going to go out in the battlefields, then we need them to start picking this up and go out and fight. They got to study the word. And we'll be there every step of the way. We will do it with them. We're going to fight. 600 students. We're going to get them. I feel it. See, God draws that line and they cross it through obedience. And we show up with genuine commitment. See, the quitter follows for a while till the going gets tough and they bail. I've been there. And I think if we've all looked back, we've all done it. When the going gets tough, we bail out. God didn't give us a spirit of fear.
Right.
And he didn't give us no quitters in us. He gave us fight. He told us to take on the whole body of armor and fight. So there is no reason why none of us can go out there and hold our heads up and fight. Because God is on our side.
Amen.
Who's against you? No one. If I'm for you, who can it be against you? No one. See, a true follower follows the Lord no matter where he might lead. I'll give you guys a little background right here. Me and Michelle lived out in California. Born and raised all of our lives. Yeah, you've been born and raised there too, I guess, because it was in Arkansas. So, we came out and visited my mother-in-law. And I recently lost my job in the oil fields. And when we came out here, God put it in my heart that we had to stay. Didn't know what he had for us, didn't know what was going on, but he told us to stay. So we buy a house. Takes me 15 years to buy a car to think about it, and we bought a house in 1 week. Flying back, Michelle says, "What are we doing, Gary?" And I said, "I'm sitting on a plane flying home to California. I don't know. What are you doing?" And she says, "Well, we just bought a house." And I said, "Yeah, we did. But God told me we have a place in Arkansas and a job to do.
Amen.
We have to follow him no matter where he leads us. You have to. You have to be willing to, when he crosses that line, to step forward. And you know what? God has showed us more since we've been out here than we ever have in California. Let's look at Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Take up your cross daily. That means we're going to fail. But when you fail, you get on your knees and you repent. And you pray. And God will pick us up, dust us off, and put us right back where we need to be. And see, a true follower of Christ isn't just a Christian when it's convenient for him. All too often we just do it when it's convenient for us. I'm having troubles today, so I'm going to go to church. I'm having troubles today, so I'm going to call Pastor Kelly. But you know what? The rest of 3 weeks of the month, I'm going to shack up with the devil. Can't do it. That's not a true follower of Christ. Our commitment are tested by trials. When trouble comes, do you guys stand firm with your Savior? And I'm horrible with names. Melissa, you guys' house burned down. That's a trial. But you know what? God's going to bring you through it, and I'm going to bring you better. Just have to stand firm and cross that line. I know it with all, everything in my heart. Because it's too easy just to quit, wouldn't it have been? The last thing I want to point out tonight, guys, in that movie, Davy Crockett. Everyone was watching Davy Crockett. Right? No difference than all of you guys are standing, sitting back there watching me tonight. They were standing there seeing what's going to happen. What happened when Davy Crockett crossed that line? They all began to follow. One by one, they kept following. See, we were called to lead the people, not stand on the other side of the line. Too often, in Mind and Michelle's ministry, we've seen parents not come to church, but kids do. But in that same instance, all too often, we've seen where the parent ended up coming because of the child. I want to ask you guys tonight, if you were to step across that line, people were following you, where would you lead them? Are you leading them to Christ? Are you faking it? I don't know. God knows your heart. I do not want to get up there and hear you've led my sheep off a cliff. That is my biggest fear. I'm going to close tonight. I'm going to ask everyone in here just to close your eyes for a minute. This is a moment where you need to talk to God. You and Him. See, I can't talk to Him for you. You need to talk to Him. And as you're talking to Him, some of you need to cross that line for the first time. God's calling you. He's calling you right now to step across the line and accept Him as His Lord and Savior. Some of you have heard the truth before, but you quit when it got tough. Tonight's the night. Step back across that line. He's here. He's here to pick you up, dust you off. Some of you guys have been coming a while. You've been faking it, going through the motions. You have no one fooled but yourself. Maybe you're a follower of Christ. You're a true follower. But you haven't been leading people to Christ. What we've been called to do. I don't know exactly which side you're on tonight. But up here at these altars, God's drawn the line. And He's asking you, step out. Cross that line tonight. Guys, the altars are open. If anybody needs to step out, because they've been faking it, they haven't really committed their lives. We want to pray with you tonight. Father, I come to you tonight. Father, you see the hearts of the people in here. Father, you're the only one that knows the truth. And if no one steps forward tonight, Father, that's okay. But I ask you to still continue to stir their hearts, their minds, their spirits. And Father, I just ask right now, as we go into this youth ministry, Let us be true followers. Never back down. Never look back. For you made the front windshield bigger than the rearview mirror, Father. That's because we're supposed to look forward, not back. Help us reach every student in Logan County. And Father, with the help of our church family, Father, they will be there to help every step of the way. Father, right now I just ask that you bless each and every one that's here tonight. I ask that you bless each and every one that hears my voice. Father, that you go forth and make a way. Father, right now, every drug dealer that's trying to get into this county, Father, every drug dealer that's trying to reach to our kids, Father, may you strike them down right now. May you open it up and let every law enforcement find them tonight. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. My pastor heart is so full. Amen. How about you parents with these teens? Aren't you excited? I just am so excited. I really am. Now, if you have a teenager, I want you to get them up here, and I want you to get them to meet their new youth pastors. We're going to do probably about 12 and on up. So I want y'all to get in here, and, you know, the church's job is to back each other and to support each other. And that's why, you know, Jeremy and I cannot afford to back down from that, because so many people talk about having an awesome church, and we are awesome. But you know what? We can be better. There's room to be better, and there's room to grow, and there's room to do more. But you can't do more when you can't do what you have right in front of you. And so what we have right in front of us right now is the birth of a ministry. And so I'm going to ask each and every single parent to be faithful. I'm going to ask you if you care about your child's salvation and their soul. It's not all about all these sports and all this stuff. That's fun for them. But at the end of the day, we want to see them in heaven. We want to see their friends in heaven. And so I'm going to ask you to get behind Gary and Michelle and support them on the nights that they are going to do the youth ministry. I'm going to ask you to have your teenager here because it's important. How many of you know that you're not a youth pastor? Amen. That's a special anointing. But they are. And so I'm very, very excited. We're going to the leadership of this church on Sunday morning this coming week. We're going to set them in this position, in this office of the church. And so we're so excited and we're so honored. So anyhow, if anybody did not get anything to this morning and you want some stuff, we've got asparagus and Brussels sprouts and sub sandwiches and onions and just all sorts of stuff. So if you want anything like that, tell me or Miss Mary. We are going to get the fridges open. You're welcome to have all of that stuff. It's all there to take. And I just want to, you know, just tell you from the bottom of Jeremy and I's heart, we just love each and every single one of you. And we're glad to be called your pastor. And you can call us anytime, day or night. It doesn't matter. I always tell you, if you